Hello and welcome to ICTJ's forum, where we discuss transitional justice news and developments from around the world. Today I'm joined by Lynn Malouf, who is speaking with me from Beirut, Lebanon. She is one of the primary authors of a new report by ICTJ entitled Lebanon's Legacy of Political Violence. It's a report that compiles information on hundreds of incidents, highlighting the patterns and nature of the violence that took place from 1975 to 2008 in all parts of Lebanon. We're pleased to release this publication as part of a series of publications looking at Lebanon's situation, looking at the past and what kinds of transitional justice mechanisms might be appropriate and are currently under discussion in the country. Lynn, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
The pleasure is mine.
So tell me about this report. What does it do and what are the contents of the report look like?
What we did when working on the report is go out and try and collect as much information as we have during the time frame that we had decided to work on, which is a 30-year time frame. It's a very long time frame. And basically collect the information. So go out, analyze some of the information, put it through the lens of the body of international law, what could potentially be classified as serious violations falling under IHL and IHRA, and then putting them all together in a chronological manner. So what the report looks like basically is we have seven chapters. Six of these chapters are just the inventory of these incidents in a chronological way with some brief contextual information just to give some information about what the context was when these incidents occurred. We're talking about a time frame that goes from April 1975, which is the main date that exist, if you want, in collective memory. It's not a date that historians agree upon, but it is a date that has become very symbolic in Lebanon's collective memory. And we build on that and go until December 2008. The idea is that incidents of political violence in Lebanon never stopped, not since 75 and not till today. And especially today, we finished the report a few months ago, but now we continue to see serious acts of violence, as in the latest car bombs that occurred, fear of violence erupting. And this fear is, I think, as strong as ever. It just highlights basically the need to take a pause and say the route we took after the war ended in 1990 clearly didn't work. This route of saying, let's just turn the page and move on and pick ourselves up and go on as if nothing happened.
Now, the report, as you say, compiles existing information about these incidents of serious crimes. Why was ICTJ interested in compiling this all together? Has this been done before?
It hasn't been done before. And I think the contribution of this report is precisely this. There isn't necessarily an analysis of it. There are lots of course, many resources dealing with this specific period in time in Lebanon, but not done in this way where it's just gathering and collecting the information and putting it all together in one place.
Could you tell me more about these serious incidents? It's quite a long time period. You're looking at several decades of violence. So what kinds of crimes were happening and what is some of the information that is in this report?
Okay, what we do have in the report is we have a 15-year period of conflict, which can be classified as internal conflict, but also international conflict, because we have regional and international actors involved in the conflict, all taking place on Lebanese territory. Many cases of the incidents also could be classified as part of a widespread or systematic attack against civilian populations. We're talking about massive bombardments of residential areas. We're talking about systematic widespread use of torture, arbitrary detention, enforced disappearances, sieges of villages, of camps, deprivation of civilian populations of food, of water. Hundreds and hundreds of incidents all vote together in this report. What we're trying to say is that this information is out there. It has been documented. We cannot verify whether it is exhaustive, and we're not saying this is a comprehensive report, but what we are saying is let's take a first step. This is a preliminary report, and we're hoping that it can be used to encourage more investigations, to encourage more research done, but also to encourage more discussion about what to do with all of this legacy, and for it to be an eye-opener on the impact it still has today on the generations that went through these periods of conflict, that went through the years of ensuing occupations, because after the conflict, there were two distinct foreign occupations of Lebanese territory and populations, and then the ongoing, to this day, acts of political violence. So what we're trying to say is that, look, let's just have this document that has it all in one place. It has really a very modest, very humble objective, but it's something that hasn't been done, and let's take it as a starting point.
Now, tell me more about Lebanon's willingness to face this history, because it sounds like this isn't something that is often discussed. And I want to read just a couple sentences from the report. At the very end of the report, it says, and I quote, "It is time to start questioning the logic of forget and forgive. The time of occupations and foreign presences has ended. Teenagers and young adults are asking questions about their country's past and the suffering of their parents." Could you describe what is the discussion that's taking place with this next generation? Is there a real desire to look at this period of time?
We have been able to get an actual palpable sense of this growing demand through ICTJ's work on the ground, some of its projects, namely the Oral History Project, but also through other organizations' work on the issue of the disappeared, also with reaching out to students, university and school students, etc. And we do feel there is a change. I mean, it is no longer a given that the war ended in 1990 and we just turned the page and moved on. Today, we do see these young people saying, this is wrong. We do have a right to know what happened. We do see young people being more active and more vocal in their demand for a history curriculum, for instance, which still doesn't exist in Lebanon. It's very emblematic of the situation as it's been since 1990. But a series of political developments and the passage of time since 1990 and the end of the occupation and the uprising in 2005 that led to the withdrawal of the Syrian occupation, all of these were breaches in this wall that was built in 1990, basically this wall of silence around the conflict that happened. And these breaches are really being opened by the younger generations. We're still seeing that they're becoming once again victims of political violence, and they don't want to go down the same road that their parents did or grandparents did. But at the same time, in parallel, you still have the same political class and the same political actors who were involved in the conflict and remained in power after the conflict. So there is really a serious obstacle in terms of political will to work on these issues.
Okay, lastly, as we look at the region now and the way in which, for example, violence in Syria has been affecting places like Lebanon, what do you think the value of looking back is at this particular moment in time?
If we are to talk about, you know, lessons learned, it just brings out how important it is for a state when a conflict ends to assume its responsibilities and cater to the needs of the persons who suffered from the conflict. It's not a question of timing. In Lebanon, you do have families who've been vocal and advocating for their right to know the fate of their relatives who've been disappeared for the past 30 years. Their voices have been out there for 30 years. So it's not a question of timing or not. It's really a question of those who do have the keys to political decisions, just for them to be aware that they have obligations, but also they have nothing to lose in starting this process of reaching out to the victims and initiating the whole process.
Lynn Malouf, one of the co-authors of ICTJ's new report entitled Lebanon's Legacy of Political Violence, A Mapping of Serious Violations and International Human Rights and Humanitarian Law in Lebanon, 1975 to 2008. The report is available in English and in Arabic on ICTJ's website, ictj.org. Lynn, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Hannah.